The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Well, we certainly didn't win anything. The whole last few games that we played, it just, you could kind of feel what was brewing for us. We just didn't finish. I wouldn't necessarily say that the season was a failure. We learned a lot about some of the individuals on our team and how these players can impact the future of this building. So, not a complete failure, but like I said, just disappointing. Yeah, as a team, we need to wake up. I mean, how many times do we have to just, you know, not everyone talks about how we're just not okay with just making the playoffs, but we have yet to, you know, walk the walk.
Sad day in Green Bay, the Packers' funeral here. Yeah, there's something about that music under anything anyone says that makes it more dramatic.
Very reflective. And I don't know what the question that was asked, but that's very reflective. And I'm pretty sure the question that was asked probably, I don't know, did it warrant that type of response?
Hey, Tucker, what's up? He just starts talking.
Yeah. But this is just kind of plays into how what happened the week before they played the Eagles. How, you know, there's a little bit of, I guess, dissension in the ranks, if you will. Yeah.
So I've determined something over the last couple of years doing our show. I think we can get fooled by good vibes, right? The Phillies, their vibes and all that, and then all of a sudden it goes bad. I think when there's bad vibes on a team, it's very difficult, as the biggest games are coming up, to just ignore them. Like what we talked about last week, the Packers were going in, and it just seemed like they were a dead team walking. And then they kind of played like it for a lot of parts of that game on Sunday. And then you hear that guy talk, and it's like they knew they were dead.
It feels like if we played anybody other than the corpse of the Green Bay Packers in that game, I don't know. I don't know if I'd feel as confident about getting out of there with a win.
I know. All right, how about we do we also have Keyshawn Nixon, the kick returner, who had the fumble early in the game.
Yeah, he caught a bad one.
Well, he's now blaming the referees. Let's listen to this.
I mean, it was a sudden change. They scored right after. So I gave them the ball. But I just think I got the ball back for sure. And then it should have been a targeting. I don't have the helmet, but can't dwell on it. Never been hit that hard either. That was like the first time I kind of rattled. It is what it is.
I mean, you didn't have to tell nobody. You never hit that hard before. I knew. I mean, I could tell by the way you let that ball go. You were like, damn. You were like, wow. I don't know about targeted, though. I mean, it was helmet to helmet. But
not
it was
rule,
not
the way,
top
in the
of the – it wasn't the crown of the helmet. It was more like the face mask.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more like that bike. He put that bike on you. And there is some controversy about whether or not that was Eagles ball. But, hey, I mean – I'm not here to argue that. I mean, it. You could argue it changed the outcome of the game. Maybe it did. Who knows? But the refs called it the way they saw it. So, I mean.
I don't think Keyshawn understands this. We only care about the refs if they screw the Eagles.
That's
off.
Exactly. Yeah.
Unless if they don't, then tough luck, buddy.
Oh, if they had given the Packers that ball,
yeah,
we'd be screaming about it this week.
Yeah. But his claim that he clearly got it back, that's not true either.
I got it back for sure.
Maybe.
The referees disagreed.
And the game
sure.
is over now, and you lost. So you got to move on. So a little Packers funeral there as they go home after being beat by the Eagles 22-10. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Lots to discuss here. Jalen Hurts, are you giving him a mulligan? First thoughts on the Rams matchup against the Eagles. We just had Ross Tucker on a few minutes ago, and he mentioned how here the Eagles have taken care of the Rams two straight years, and so it's can they do it a third time? Like, I do think they could win, yes, but they have beat them by a good number of points two times in a row. Can you keep beating a good team with a good coach and a good quarterback, you know, by a lot of points over and over and over again, or eventually are they going to make one of these games close?
Initially, that's kind of where I was at with mine. I'm like, damn.
Again?
You get to see them again. But this team is weary, and the weather is going to play a factor in this, I believe. I believe it has a chance to.
So what are we looking at, right? I see the snow icon on my phone.
I think it's supposed, at least just from here out, it's supposed to look like it stops like right before the game, and I think it's only going to tow like less than an inch on.
But that's something.
No, I'll tell you, man.
I mean,
it's something
from
to be
California,
said about,
they play,
you know,
in a dome on turf.
And you go outside. I remember when I was in Jacksonville, even though I played up here most of my life, we went to New England, and it was snowing. And I never forget it because that's when I knew it was time to leave. I was going to make a play. I forgot who the running back was, but I dove like Superman across the field. And I remember diving. And when I hit the ground, I was like, damn, this ground is hard. And that's not the kicker. The kicker was I bounced off the ground a couple more times. And then I was like, Yeah, these days probably number for your boy. It's a wrap.
I love when you pull up old games because then I can go to the box score and see how Hugh Douglas did that day. So that was the 27-13 Patriots. The Patriots moved to 12-2. Hugh's Jags dropped to 4-10 on the season.
Man.
Hugh, this game was played Saturday, December 14th. So I'm sure
this should do anything for us.
I'm sure it was cold. You guys were 6-point underdogs. You didn't compete. Let me see what you did in this game.
I don't think I got a tackle. Did I get a tackle? I went for a tackle.
They gave you a combined tackle, not a solo tackle.
Man, listen.
Yeah,
but I remember it.
No sacks.
I remember that one because I remember it was cold. Because I remember being up there. And I remember it was colder than I ever remember any other game that I've ever played in my whole entire life being cold. You know, because we're coming from Florida. And I remember hitting that ground, trying to make that play. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. It's a wrap.
It was the first thoughts of retirement.
Yeah, that was the first thoughts. I'm like, yeah, you know, because normally, because it's one of those things where you get to a point where when you're younger, you don't feel anything. You're like, you feel invincible. I remember times where I remember one time I was playing a game when I was a Jet. I had a chunk of meat was out of my arm. It was like a hole.
Ooh.
And I didn't even realize it. It to going to hitting the ground and feeling every bounce in your spirit. Like, yes.
Do you have any recollection of what part of the game was? Because I did find the full broadcast on YouTube, and I'm going to give myself some homework to see it. Because I just want to see if the broadcast on CBS referenced Hugh flying and not hitting anybody.
Oh, no, I didn't hit nobody. But I remember, I can't remember what part of the game.
I watched the whole game. We'll figure it out.
But I just remember, like, it's a wrap.
If we got homework.
You got a little homework tonight, Kyle.
Yeah, it was a wrap.
If we can find the full broadcast, because the idea, if they're talking about Hugh flying and not hitting anyone, I think it'd be great.
So what game was it?
I'll send you the link. This is 2003 Jaguars at Patriots late in the season in December. I love when we bring this up because the entire games are on YouTube. Why is this game on YouTube? Who besides me is going to watch this?
Yeah. Us?
Well, this is actually for us. Yeah, it is.
All
right.
It was all bad. It was bad.
I mean, what are we paying for?
Yeah, well, it was bad.
They were wondering that exact thing at that point. Lamar in West Philly. What's up, Lamar?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, Lamar. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say something real quick. Chuck is out of his mind. Let me get that out the way.
About what this time? Everything?
Yeah, just in everything, man. I've got to be honest. I love him. He's a very passionate guy. I wish the Commanders could pull this off. They might. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. They might be able to do it. I doubt it. When they do it, oh, man, home field and the NFC Championship game would be decent. And I kind of agree with Dale Lowski. It was somebody else that reviewed a lot of plays. Those plays, man, let me tell you something. People wasn't open. I don't know what people were thinking. You go frame by frame by frame and look at it. They were covered, double covered. Like the way they zoned up on them, they had guys on both sides. Anybody that made any direction cut going deep or making left or making right, they had somebody right there waiting. And that could have been the worst thing Jalen could have did was throw picks there. So he took what he could take. And that's why you see him doing this game, even though he had a concussion. he had to run the ball to extend plays. It just wasn't there. Kellen Moore had something to do with that game plan. I don't know if they were protecting of Jalen or how they just game plan to me. The Packers did a real good job. It was like they almost knew the plays that we had, and that's what I saw. When you sit there and look at it and really look at it, it wasn't Jalen's fault at all. So I can't say I'm gonna give him a pass because it wasn't his fault. You know what I mean? It had nothing to do with him. It had to do with the play calling, man. The play calling was. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know, and Lamar, I noticed. I think we all did. I mean, and Lamar, good phone call. There was definitely, you don't even need to be someone that breaks the film down, right? Like, obviously, Dan Orlovsky, Jason Avant, former quarterbacks, analysts, they're going to go watch the whole game.
Yeah.
Even if you just watched, like, a regular fan, you saw there were some plays.
It was just, like, disjointed, disconnected.
A lot of times, their backs were turned, and he had to either decide to throw it away or get rid of the football. Like,
Like they were longer developing routes.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, when you see stuff like that, you kind of leave that to the offensive side of the ball, where guys kind of know that a little bit better, linebackers and things of that nature, because it was something that I didn't notice readily, but now going back and looking at it, I can see that. There were guys open at the beginning of the route, but as they went down the field, that's when they were covered somewhat. So, yeah, you gotta help your quarterback out in situations like that.
It almost, as we go towards this Sunday now against the Rams, it almost opens up the idea that maybe Jalen isn't the unpredictable one. Like, I don't know, Hugh, there's probably a 15% chance Jalen is great. Maybe a 10% chance Jalen doesn't play very well. There's like a 75 and 90% chance he plays like he normally does, which is good. You know, pretty good, like he's played most of the year. The question is, is Kellen Moore going to have a good game? Because, you know, that Rams defense, the last time we saw them, Hugh, they got beat up by us. But I think I saw a stat this morning, they've allowed 10 points or less in four of their last five games.
Oh, yeah, they're not trying to let that happen again.
They're playing better now.
Yeah, they're not trying to let that happen. And the way that you do that, you don't let the game get away from you. You know? This defense is playing better too, though, by the way. So there's that. But they're going to try to keep this game as close as possible. They're going to try to get Puka Nacua more involved in the passing game. I think Cooper Kupp, he wasn't that involved in the passing game when we played against him. So they're going to try to go back to that. That's going to probably be their formula, trying to throw the ball against us.
Yeah. Let's talk to Ken in Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Ken. What's up?
So last night was way more about how bad Sam Darnold is than the Rams. And so there's really nothing you can take out of that. To me, it's like 2 years ago when people around here were sweating the Giants coming in here after they beat a fraudulent Vikings team in the wild card round. Well, last night the Rams beat a fraudulent Vikings team in the wild card round. So I'm not dismissing the Rams, but I will tell you that there is not a team in the NFL that matches up against the Philadelphia Eagles for one reason. Those five guys up front. Not only are they better than every other offensive line left in the playoffs by a wide margin, and yes, that includes Detroit, it's an absolute travesty that Penei Sewell is a first-team All-Pro, not Lane Johnson, when Lane Johnson is the best tackle in football, period, on either side of the football. But they are exponentially better than any defensive front that they're going to face between now and New Orleans. So, you know, there's so many ways that they can beat the Rams. And there's only one way that the Rams, or anybody else, frankly, can beat the Eagles. And that is, and the Eagles figured this out a long time ago, if they don't turn the football over, nobody can beat them. They are just so physically superior. They are better than the Rams at every position group except quarterback. Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But they are better than the Rams at every other position group on Sunday. And as long as they don't turn the football over, they can't be beaten. It's as simple as that, and they have figured that out. They've won a lot of football games with Jalen Hurts throwing for 130 yards, not turning the football over, throwing a couple touchdowns, having 110, 115 quarterback rating, and just beating teams into the ground. So, you know, the last time they played this team, it's kind of lost because, you know, Saquon had 200 and whatever yards, and
yep,
he, like, just went off. But That was the best game Jalen Hurts had played all season.
I agree. He played well that night. And I think Devontae wasn't there either. So he even had, he was a little bit without, you know, all of his guys. Ken, I think it's interesting the comp you brought up. 2 years ago, the Giants. And what makes it interesting is the Rams, they were outscored this season. That Giants team was that year, too. Like, that means you're not that good of a team if you're outscored. The one difference, and you did hit on it, is that Giants team had Daniel Jones, right? Like, they weren't any good. This Rams team might not be that good, but Stafford does at least make me have to respect them a little bit. Like, if the game's close, he can make a play. That Giants team had no chance. So, I mean, you might be right, and they could just run all over him again. I hope this game's not close late, because Stafford at least provides something.
The one kind of, you know, puncher's chance that you look at with a team that's coming in here would be, you know, if they have a guy that can just, you know, blow the top off your defense. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are really good receivers, but neither one of those guys is going to run past you. They might run through you. They might run over you. But neither one of those guys is going to run past you. So, you know, the difference between Matthew Stafford and you know, Jordan Love is that it's unlikely that Matthew Stafford's going to see anything from Vic Fangio that he hasn't seen before. But, you know, if they just take care of football, they're just too much better. They're just too much better. I'm not dismissing the Rams. I'm not overlooking them. But, you know, the formula here has been set in stone since the bye week. Don't turn the ball over, and we can't be beaten. And I really believe they're going to ride those five guys all the way down Broad Street with the trophy in their hands in mid-February.
They might. They very well might. Ken, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, here the offensive line is just – it's been the best part of the defense and the offensive line. That's really the story of the season. We talk about Jalen all the time because he's the quarterback, and Saquon because he's a great runner. But that's why they win almost every game they play.
Yeah, and I feel like even though, you know, seeing this team again for the second time, that's a little worrisome. It's just that when I go back and think about the matchups, this offensive line dominated. Now, it might not be to the level that they dominated the time that they played earlier in this year, but I still see them dominating, because especially if you're trying to line people up in the box and we're going to run the ball, I don't really think they have an answer for that. So for all those people wanting Jalen to do more, I don't think it has to do a whole lot with the matchup that we have. Run the ball. 255 yards, 26 carries, average 9.8 yards a carry. Y'all know who I'm talking about. That's what he had the last time we played this team. So now you want to go in and do something different? Jalen threw the ball 22 times, 15 completions. What you want to do? You want to do something different? Yeah, I know what we're going to do different. Be creative in the way that we get to these plays that give Saquon Barkley 255 yards. We can do that. We could be creative in the way that we line him up and disguise some things. But that's the formula right there.
And it's been that way, really, I mean, the whole season. It's worked, yeah. And it's worked, and it's worked. Big V and Matt Lauer, what's up, Big V?
Yo, Joe Giglio being silly-o. Man.
What am I being silly about today?
Well, let me get this question right.
Mm-hmm.
Can we give a mulligan
to
a quarterback who won the game?
I mean, that's the way you can say it. But yeah, sure.
Oh. That doesn't sound silly.
No, because he didn't play very well. I mean, like, we all saw the same game.
He won the game.
The Eagles won the game, Big V. The Eagles won the game.
Is he part of the Eagles?
Yes.
Is he the quarterback of the Eagles?
You're asking questions you know the answer to already. Yes.
Okay. Did he deliver two touchdowns?
Yes.
Okay. So
did he have two quarters where they didn't complete a pass? Yes.
Did he throw an interception?
No.
He won the game.
Sure. I know that already. But you know, and I know he didn't play great on Sunday. Like, that's the truth.
But you want to give him a mulligan, really?
No, I don't. I'm not giving him a mulligan. I need him to play better.
You don't want to give him, you know, even asking should he get a mulligan is ridiculous. Really? You got to get off that Jalen hate, man. I mean, you drinking deep from that Jalen hate cup, brother.
What
that's
hate?
Right, Joe.
What hate? I mean, he didn't. No one agreed. Did you agree he didn't play great?
I agreed he won the game. I agree he played good enough to win the game. I agreed that he didn't get any interceptions. Look at all the other quarterbacks who played. Didn't they get interceptions?
Well, not all of them, but a lot of them did, yeah.
Okay, and he didn't. Okay, so, I mean, what do you want him to do? I mean, leap over everybody, you know, run everything into the end zone, throw 70-yard strikes? I mean, come on. He's winning. That's not enough.
It's all he does.
Well,
Charles,
but
man.
No, it won't be enough against the best opponents. That's why I need more. I mean, that's...
he took on the fifth highest rated defense.
Stop!
In
Can
NFL.
We stop with the stat stuff? The Packers that played on Sunday without Jair Alexander, that team isn't what they were all year. Like, you saw the same thing I did. They're kind of frauds.
Maybe the fact that the Eagles kind of confused them that they weren't the team.
They
that
lost
we saw.
To the Bears the week before, Big V. They came in here leaking oil.
Yeah, well, guess what? They're still leaking. In fact,
yeah, they're dead now. Yeah, I know that.
So I mean, it's actually absurd that you want to you're putting out the question to give him a mulligan. What do you do? You stay up all night thinking of stupid stuff? Look, Joe,
yes.
You're getting to the point. Person.
Yeah,
every time I think,
I do.
Every time you do a jackass statement, and I think you couldn't get lower. Wow. You come up with more jackassery.
Do you think that if he plays the same way on against the Rams and then the Lions and the Chiefs, they'll win the Super Bowl?
I think that he will.
So, do you think they'll win the Super Bowl if he plays the same way he did on Sunday for the next three games?
But here's the secret of that question, okay? And here's the good answer to that question. The Eagles have been consistent in, one, Jalen improving, and, two, the coach is preparing them for success or putting them in a position where they can excel. What more do you want?
I mean, Big V, hold on a second. Like, I understand your point, and a lot of people have had a similar point. Seth Joyner had a similar point. That's fine. Like, they won. He played well enough to win. I gave him a lot of credit for the check to Goddard for the touchdown there. They scored when they needed to before the Packers got back in it. But, like, don't you realize going two quarters in a row without a completion could lead to problems at some point?
Well, how many quarters did the Packers go without a completion?
I don't know, and I don't care.
They did a lot. They were three and out most of the game.
Right. That's great. The Eagles, after the first drive where they got a short field, scored 15 points the whole game. That's not a lot of points, Big V.
But a lot of that is not on Jalen's abilities. A lot of that was on the Packers' defense. They are a good defensive team.
They're good, yeah. Well, but isn't that the story now? You're only going to see good defenses.
It only gets tougher.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the point now. This is going to be challenging.
Exactly. It's going to be challenging. But I trust in the coaches being able to prepare them. One thing you give Nick credit for, he's a very good strategist. One thing you give him credit for is that his coaching staff is very good in preparing the Eagles for success.
I'd say prepared and motivated. I don't know if Nick Sirianni's the brilliant strategist, Big V. We're not Bill Belichick here.
Look, I think that Sirianni's going to be proven to be a better coach than Belichick. Okay, because if Belichick's so good.
Big V, stop. Let me just stop. And what are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about Sirianni and his body of work versus Belichick. If he had the same amount of years, Sirianni would be a better coach. Definitely. I'm talking about Jalen and his body of work versus all these
like
people.
How am I supposed to let you continue with a straight face saying Sirianni is going to end his career better than Belichick? Like, you hear yourself?
Yeah, I hear myself.
Okay.
I mean, it's just as absurd as you saying Jalen deserves a mulligan.
No, it's not. Big V. It's not. I mean, we're talking about the greatest coach in the history of the sport, and you're talking about Jalen Hurts after a game he completed 13 passes, Big V. 13.
13 passes. Were they successful? Did we win? It's the result.
But you want him
to look super pretty. You want him to stay calm, cool, collected in the pocket, and throw a 70-yard strike. Those exciting plays don't work every time, especially when defenses are prepared. I'll give him credit for being prepared, running the ball, game management, clock management, and winning.
Are you done now?
That's right, Josh.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. No, then I'm done. I can't.
Good talk.
I got no more.
It's a long-ass conversation.
I apologize for keeping him on long enough for the belt.
The more you let Big V talk, he starts to drown.
He comes in with a burst. He's kind of pushing me, and then he just fell off. He fell out of the ring. I mean, I don't know what that was. The Belichick thing? All right.
Well, how about we talk about it? 20 more years? 20 years.
He's
at least
got a long way to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a bold proclamation.
A few more Super Bowls.
Can we get one?
That's
ring?
A bold proclamation. I can't even say it. Proclamation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is like, damn, dog. You just sat here, like, you just said he's gonna be better than, like that. That's what you came with. You know how long we got to wait for that to come true? It's a long-ass time.
I mean, some of us might not even be
might
here.
Might not even be here, Joe, to be honest. Like, that's what I was thinking. Dog, we got to wait that long to see how good
he
is.
So Belichick's career as a head coach started in 91 or 92? Yeah. Right? And now he is the GOAT, right, in 2024?
Mm-hmm. And look how long that took.
2025, so that's 33 Ooh. Years.
And then think about the era
in
which, oh, yeah, you're
which he was coaching. He was coaching in an era where coaches got recycled all the time.
Yeah.
They're not recycling coaches like that now. They're going out and getting young Thundercat coaches. They're getting coaches that have not that much coaching experience trying to get their team on the right track. That was a bold statement.
That was quintessential Big V.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Belichick has 6 Super Bowls as a head coach. Smokes. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, your phone call's coming up. Jalen, does he get a mulligan? Please don't bring Belichick, Sirianni or Belichick conversation to the table. We can't do that. Plus, we have to get to the circus going on down in Dallas. What happened with the McCarthy situation, what it means for them, and who might be the next coach of the Dallas.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Oh, I love the music, especially when it has to do here with the Dallas Cowboys. We got the news yesterday on our show, during our show. McCarthy out. Dallas moves on after a week of nonsense. McCarthy out. So he's now free agent to go wherever he wants. And the Cowboys need a coach. But Hugh, because they waited a week, they can't talk to Ben Johnson this week. He's got a game this week, right?
Yeah.
They can't talk to Aaron Glenn.
Slim Pickens.
Story came out yesterday that Bill Belichick would have been interested, but he already took the job at North Carolina. So they're missed out on some of the bigger names because they took a week to wait here. But we did, Hugh Douglas, start to hear some names trickling in that could be part of the Cowboys search. You ready for these? Jason Witten.
You mean the tight end?
Who may have been.
That proves my point right there. Like, when Big V comes here talking about Nick Sirianni, it's not guaranteed that Nick Sirianni is going to get a job past the Eagles' job.
So Jason Witten's name was brought up. John Gruden's name I'm seeing in reports.
Grudog.
And then one that does affect us in a way, Kellen Moore's name. And this one makes sense to me. I mean, Jerry's familiar with him. He was there a lot. In fact, today, Kellen Moore did speak on this. Kellen Moore, in his weekly press conference, asked about, you know, being connected to the Cowboys' now open head coaching job.
Your name is being linked to the Cowboys' job. How did it end there from your perspective, and is that a job that would interest you?
I mean, obviously I've spent a lot there, 8 years there, and so obviously have plenty of relationships about that place. And so, I love it here. I've had so much fun here. It's been a really fun process, and we're in a really special situation right now, getting the chance to play this Sunday, have a chance to make a run at this thing, and that's really all you worry about. Everything else is what it is, and we'll see where it takes you.
All right, so Kellen doing his best there to answer that question the best he can. But, I mean, obviously he's going to have interest if they want to hire him or interview him. Hugh, so yeah, that one. But then there was the big one. Hugh, report came out last night that Jerry Jones has spoken to Deion Sanders about the Cowboys head coaching job. Now, we brought this up a couple months ago. I think it was Michael Irvin, right? He's on Fox Sports, and he said people close to him thinks it could happen. And we were a little skeptical it would. But now that McCarthy's out and Deion's taking the phone call, it feels like there's a chance Deion takes the job.
And I'm not trying to be funny when I say this or ask this question. But does that count as a minority job interview?
Deion, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, because seriously, you know, there's a lot of minority coaches that got fired, and you know, if Deion did get the job, I think he would be the first African American coach in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. So. It's something that I think if the opportunity presented itself, Deion would be foolish not to take it. I honestly believe that. And we were talking about it this morning, the quarterback situation.
With Dak, yeah.
Yeah, and whether or not would he be in a position if he could coach his son with the Dallas Cowboys.
So the Cowboys have the 12 picks. I'm not sure where Shadur's going to go.
Yeah, and it's still early. It's still early in this the process of vetting these young quarterbacks.
So let's listen. So I saw the report yesterday. My first thought was, oh, my goodness gracious. Could you imagine if Deion actually was the coach of the Cowboys? And then, but you wonder, like, is it real? Is it just nonsense? Is he using this for leverage to get more money out of Colorado? But Adam Schefter last night, listen to him talking about the possibility of Deion taking this job.
Well, the Cowboys, and they have spoken with, amongst other candidates, Deion Sanders. There is a mutual interest there. And I go back to about a year and a half ago when I had a former general manager say to me, watch Deion Sanders. There's a real possibility he could be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, there is mutual interest. We'll see if that amps up. But the two sides have talked, they have touched base, and we'll see if it goes anywhere.
I need it to happen. This, Hugh, it would be so much fun. Like, think about reigniting to a different level the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. Deion as their coach?
Yeah, it's something different, man. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Sanders and what he's been able to do in such a short period of time in college football. From the times at Jackson State to Colorado and to potentially being in the NFL. Now, the unfortunate thing about it is he's in the division.
And he's a Cowboy.
And he's a Cowboy. You know, so that's something that you look at like, damn, out of all the teams that you could go to, because I'm a fan. Now I got to quit. You know, I can't be, you know what I mean? Can't be rude.
Here's what would make it fun. The Cowboys, although they're the Cowboys, they haven't had a ton of hateable characters at coaching quarterback in a long time. Like, I guess people hated Tony Romo, but I don't know. It just seemed like it's just a decent guy.
He's more like a punching bag.
Yes. Dak is not hateable. He's hateable because he's the Cowboys quarterback. I mean, obviously, Mike McCarthy's not hateable. He's just kind of goofy. You just laugh at him.
Another punching bag.
Right, another punching bag. Jason Garrett, a punching bag. They haven't had, like, someone that pokes back in a long time. Deion.
That would be Deion.
Oh, yeah. The first time he just has a backhanded compliment at Sirianni, it would take on a whole thing again. It'd be back, the rivalry, which we haven't seen like that in a long time.
Yeah, Deion's very, like, can't standable.
Yes.
Perfect cowboy.
He's a perfect villain.
Yeah. So
I mean, he's brash. He yes. says whatever's on his mind. And that's why you like him.
Because
he's unapologetic.
I need him to be their coach. So we'll see where this goes and how the whole process happens. But Cowboys, they may stumble into Deion Sanders.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Do you think he's going to take the job ultimately or go somewhere else?
I think that they threw the name out there because of the timing.
Mm-hmm.
You've mishandled this whole thing from the gate. Like, this is not just a this year thing. Think about this for a minute, Dallas Cowboy fans. Y'all mishandled free agency last year.
Derrick Henry.
Y'all got off to a bad start last year in free agency. Then you look at your timeline from the last couple of weeks. You blocked the coach from going on a job interview. And then you can't sign him because y'all can't come to a mutual agreement, knowing that at that point you're not operating from a position of power.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. So now you want to try to lowball this man, and it's obvious that he has other interests or other people are interested in him. And then you threw Deion's name out there because you know it would get the fan base excited, and you would be talked about in a positive way. But at the end of the day, this is my take on this. Deion Sanders has way too much personality for Jerry Jones to take a back seat to that. That's a fact. When you talk about, think about like this, compare contrast real quick in the division. The Commodores and their ownership. Even though we don't like the dude and we don't like what he stands for, they sit back and they let Dan Quinn do his thing. And now they're doing press conferences talking about, hey, how we hired this dude and we got the right coach job. And we all know Dan Quinn wasn't your first choice. But you act like he was. And y'all, on the other hand, y'all throwing names out there just to get people excited, knowing damn well you're not going to hire Deion. You're not going to hire him.
So I think deep down they are interested and there may be mutual interest. I do think all roads could lead back to Kellen Moore, which affects the Eagles in that maybe people don't love Kellen Moore. I know we've been up and down with him, and some people like, whatever. It would be another coordinator for Jalen Hurts. I do think, like, if they can't land who they want, Kellen Moore is a very simple, easy, been here, comfortable with him, not going to rock the boat. He'll be Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
See, that's the thing. Like, think about it.
He'll fit very well. He knows
Deion
how it works there.
Deion does not – that's not Deion.
No.
That's not Deion. You're not about to tell Deion who to draft. You're not about to tell Deion the way he runs his team. You're not about to tell Deion you're going to helicopter your friends in and holler at the team – while they're in the middle of practice. You're not going to do any of that. And Jerry's not going to go for that for a bunch of different reasons that I feel strongly about. But he for damn sure is not about to let Deion do any of that or make him take a back seat. And he's been that dude since, hell, Jimmy Johnson was there.
Of course.
He's the one, when you talk about stuff that has anything to do with the Cowboys, who's the front man?
Jerry.
Remember like when we do the at the beginning of the season, when they do the
owners meetings and stuff?
No, not the owners meetings, Kyle. When they do the videos of the upcoming season and how excited people are about the opponents.
Oh, the schedule releases.
It's all about Jerry.
He's the face.
He's the face. Think about that. So now you get Deion in there. Deion, that's all Deion. Like, it becomes the Dallas Cowboys Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
It's not about Jerry anymore. His ego won't take that.
Well, think about it. Let's just hear, right? Like, so on we're the flagship of the Eagles. Every week, who's on there? Nick Sirianni, right?
Yeah.
He's the voice. Obviously, we know Howie and Jeff are huge parts of it, but the voice out there is the head coach. And then some players, whether it be Kelsey in the past or still now, Brandon Graham. Have we ever played a clip of McCarthy doing a radio hit? I don't even know if they let him.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Jerry.
He doesn't do.
And Steven.
So now, now you have Deion doing all of that. He's not going to stand for that.
Well, then come on down nice and simple and calm Kellen Moore. I think it could end with all
roads. You had to be smoking something.
Yeah,
so will Cowboys fans that when Kellen Moore came here said,
I would be so surprised. I would be so super surprised.
If it's Deion?
Yes. I would be.
I'm rooting for Deion. I'm expecting Kellen Moore.
Yeah, Moore is so like, yeah, he's just like mayonnaise.
You know, he's perfectly muffins. He's perfectly Jason Garrett. He's just Jason Garrett enough to get the job.
But will the Cowboys fans do a switch up when they told us Kellen Moore is not that good?
The music, especially when it has to do, Hugh, with the Dallas Cowboys. We got the news yesterday on our show, during our show. McCarthy out. Dallas moves on after a week of nonsense. McCarthy out. So he's now free agent to go wherever he wants. And the Cowboys need a coach. But Hugh, because they waited a week, they can't talk to Ben Johnson this week. He's got a game this week, right?
Yeah.
They can't talk to Aaron Glenn.
Slim Pickens.
Story came out yesterday that Bill Belichick would have been interested, but he already took the job at North Carolina. So they're missed out on some of the bigger names because they took a week to wait here. But we did, Hugh Douglas, start to hear some names trickling in that could be part of the Cowboys search. You ready for these? Jason Witten.
You mean the tight end?
Who may have been.
That proves my point right there. Like, when Big V comes here talking about Nick Sirianni, it's not guaranteed that Nick Sirianni is going to get a job past the Eagles' job.
So Jason Witten's name was brought up. John Gruden's name I'm seeing in reports.
Grudog.
And then one that does affect us in a way, Kellen Moore's name. And this one makes sense to me. I mean, Jerry's familiar with him. He was there a lot. In fact, today, Kellen Moore did speak on this. Kellen Moore, in his weekly press conference, asked about, you know, being connected to the Cowboys' now open head coaching job.
Your name has been linked to the Cowboys' job. How did it end there from your perspective? And is that a job that would interest you?
I mean, obviously, I spent a lot there, 8 years there. And so, obviously, have plenty of relationships about that place. And so, you know, I love it here. I've had so much fun here. It's been a really fun process, and we're in a really special situation right now, getting the chance to play this Sunday, have a chance to make a run at this thing, and that's really all you worry about. Everything else is what it is, and we'll see where it takes you.
All right, so Kellen doing his best there to answer that question the best he can, but I mean, obviously he's going to have interest if they want to, you know, hire him or interview him. Hugh, so yeah, that one, but then there was the big one. Hugh, report came out last night that Jerry Jones has spoken to Deion Sanders about the Cowboys head coaching job. Now, we brought this up a couple months ago. I think it was Michael Irvin, right? He's on Fox Sports, and he said people close to him,
yeah,
thinks it could happen. And we were a little skeptical it would. But now that McCarthy's out and Deion's taking the phone call, it feels like there's a chance Deion takes the job.
And I'm not trying to be funny when I say this or ask this question, but does that count as a minority job interview?
Deion, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, because seriously, because, you know, there's a lot of minority coaches that got fired. And, you know, if Deion did get the job, I think he would be the first African-American coach in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. So it's something that I think if the opportunity presented itself, Deion would be foolish not to take it. I honestly believe that. We were talking about it this morning, the quarterback situation.
With Dak, yeah.
Yeah, and whether or not would he be in a position if he could coach his son with the Dallas Cowboys.
So the Cowboys have the 12 picks. I'm not sure where Shadur's going to go.
Yeah, and it's still early. It's still early in this the process of vetting these young quarterbacks.
So let's listen. So I saw the report yesterday. My first thought was, oh, my goodness gracious. Could you imagine if Deion actually was the coach of the Cowboys? And then, but you wonder, like, is it real? Is it just nonsense? Is he using this for leverage to get more money out of Colorado? But Adam Schefter last night, listen to him talking about the possibility of Deion taking this job.
Well, the Cowboys, and they have spoken with, amongst other candidates, Deion Sanders. There is a mutual interest there. And I go back to about a year and a half ago when I had a former general manager say to me, watch Deion Sanders. There's a real possibility he could be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, there is mutual interest. We'll see if that amps up. But the two sides have talked, they have touched base, and we'll see if it goes anywhere.
I need it to happen. This, Hugh, it would be so much fun. Like, think about reigniting to a different level the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. Deion as their coach?
Yeah, it's something different, man. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Sanders and what he's been able to do in such a short period of time in college football. From the times at Jackson State to Colorado and to potentially being in the NFL. Now, the unfortunate thing about it is he's in the division.
And he's a Cowboy.
And he's a Cowboy. You know, so that's something that you look at like, damn, out of all the teams that you could go to, because I'm a fan. Now I got to, you know, I can't be, you know what I mean? Can't be rude.
Here's what would make it fun. The Cowboys, although they're the Cowboys, they haven't had a ton of hateable characters at coaching quarterback in a long time. Like, I guess people hated Tony Romo, but I don't know. It just seemed like it's just a decent guy.
He's more like a punching bag.
Yes. Dak is not hateable. He's hateable because he's the Cowboys quarterback. I mean, obviously, Mike McCarthy's not hateable. He's just kind of goofy. You just laugh at him.
Another punching bag.
Right, another punching bag. Jason Garrett, a punching bag. They haven't had, like, someone that pokes back in a long time.
Deion.
Oh, yeah. The first time he just has a backhanded compliment at Sirianni, it would take on a whole thing again. It'd be back, the rivalry, which we haven't seen like that in a long time.
Yeah, Deion's very, like, can't standable.
Yes.
Perfect cowboy.
The perfect villain.
Yeah. So.
I mean, he's brash. He says whatever's on his mind. And that's why you like him.
Oh, I need it.
He's unapologetic.
I need him to be their coach. So we'll see where this goes and how the whole process happens. But Cowboys, they may stumble into Deion Sanders.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Do you think he's going to take the job ultimately or go somewhere else?
I think that they threw the name out there because of the timing.
Mm-hmm.
You've mishandled this whole thing from the gate. Like, this is not just a this year thing. Think about this for a minute, Dallas Cowboy fans. Y'all mishandled free agency last year.
Derrick Henry.
Y'all got off to a bad start last year in free agency. Then you look at your timeline from the last couple of weeks. You blocked the coach from going on a job interview. And then you can't sign him because y'all can't come to a mutual agreement, knowing that at that point you're not operating from a position of power.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. So now you want to try to lowball this man, and it's obvious that he has other interests or other people are interested in him. And then you threw Deion's name out there because you know it would get the fan base excited, and you would be talked about in a positive way. But at the end of the day, this is my take on this. Deion Sanders has way too much personality for Jerry Jones to take a back seat to that. That's a fact. When you talk about, think about like this, compare contrast real quick in the division. The Commodores and their ownership. Even though we don't like the dude and we don't like what he stands for, they sit back and they let Dan Quinn do his thing. And now they're doing press conferences talking about, hey, how we hired this dude and we got the right coach job. And we all know Dan Quinn wasn't your first choice. But you act like he was. And y'all, on the other hand, y'all throwing names out there just to get people excited, knowing damn well you're not going to hire Deion. You're not going to hire him.
So I think deep down they are interested and there may be mutual interest. I do think all roads could lead back to Kellen Moore, which affects the Eagles in that maybe people don't love Kellen Moore. I know we've been up and down with him and some people like, whatever. It would be another coordinator for Jalen Hurts. I do think, like, if they can't land who they want, Kellen Moore is a very simple, easy, been here, comfortable with him, not going to rock the boat. He'll be Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
See, that's the thing. Like, think about it.
He'll fit very well. He knows
Deion
how it works there.
That's not Deion.
No.
That's not Deion. You're not about to tell Deion who to draft. You're not about to tell Deion the way he runs his team. You're not about to tell Deion you're going to helicopter your friends in and holler at the team. Why they're in the middle of practice. You're not going to do any of that. And Jerry's not going to go for that for a bunch of different reasons that I feel strongly about. But he, for damn sure, is not about to let Deion do any of that or make him take a back seat. And he's been that dude since, hell, Jimmy Johnson was there.
Of course.
He's the one, when you talk about stuff that has anything to do with the Cowboys, who's the front man?
Jerry.
Remember like when we do at the beginning of the season, when they do the
owners meetings and stuff?
No, not the owners meetings, Kyle. When they do the videos of the upcoming season and how excited people are about the opponents.
Oh, the schedule releases.
It's all about Jerry.
He's the face.
Think about that. So now you get Deion in there. Deion, that's all Deion. Like, it becomes the Dallas Cowboys Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
It's not about Jerry anymore. His ego won't take that.
Well, think about it. Let's just hear, right? Like, so on we're the flagship of the Eagles. Every week, who's on there? Nick Sirianni, right?
Yeah.
He's the voice. Obviously, we know Howie and Jeff are huge parts of it, but the voice out there is the head coach. And then some players, whether it be Kelsey in the past or still now, Brandon Graham. Have we ever played a clip of McCarthy doing a radio hit? I don't even know if they let him.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Jerry.
He doesn't do.
And Steven.
So now, now you have Deion doing all of that. He's not going to stand for that.
Well, then come on down nice and simple and calm Kellen Moore. I think it could end with all
roads. You've got to be smoking something.
Yeah, so, well, Cowboys fans that when Kellen Moore came here said, ah, you know, yeah, I would be, not that
man,
good.
Listen, I would be so surprised. I would be super surprised.
If it's Deion?
Yes. I would be.
I'm rooting for Deion. I'm expecting Kellen Moore.
Yeah, Moore is so like, yeah, he's just like mayonnaise.
You know, he's perfectly muffins. He's perfectly Jason Garrett. He's just Jason Garrett enough to get the job.
But will the Cowboys fans do a switch up when they told us Kellen Moore is not that good?